I was sitting down because I had an illness episode on Friday afternoon. I've just been a bit cautious today. I asked Ruth to lead today because I thought she's much more inventive and creative than I am. And she's just proved it. What a wonderful way we've been led to the resurrection story. And I want to look at things a bit differently. I've been preaching now for probably about 50 years. And on many of those years, I've been asked to preach on Easter Sunday. And you begin to think, well, what can I preach about that's new or is going to grab people's attention? And it occurred to me that it would be good this afternoon for us to think through what character in the Easter story we resonate with. What can we see of ourselves in some of the characters that we read of in the Easter story? So I'm going to talk about five people, and the first one's Judas. Oh, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Okay, Judas.
The treasurer is leaving.
Yeah, the treasurer is leaving. Yeah, very good. Yeah. So in John 13, we read that Jesus outlined clearly that he was the betrayer. He was somebody who was disillusioned. He was the treasurer, as Brian rightly said, and he was very worried about wasting resources. If you remember the story of Mary coming with the ointment and him being appalled at the waste of money spread on over Jesus, that could have been used so much better to help other people. But we also find out from Scripture that he also stole some of the funds. Disillusioned. Why was he disillusioned? Perhaps he was disillusioned because Jesus was not the man he expected. And so he rejects Jesus. Betrays him with a kiss, Matthew 26. And then, as we know, he's remorseful afterwards and tries to undo the handing over that he's done to the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders. And he goes out and commits suicide in Matthew 27. So what can we glean out of that? I hope nobody here is guilty of rejecting Jesus on this resurrection day. If you are, then you need to put aside your worries and your doubts and your concerns and just come to Jesus, the Saviour of the world. It's easy to be disillusioned when God doesn't act as we think he should. I'm certainly guilty myself of thinking, God, look, this is the problem, and really, this is the way that you ought to save it. You ought to solve it. That's arrogant. And we're reminded in Scripture that our ways are not God's ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts. God works in the way he wants to. And sometimes we may think, and it certainly is proclaimed in some of our churches, that there is another way to God other than through Jesus. And John 14:6 makes it quite clear that the only way to have a relationship with the Father and to have eternal life is through Jesus. So in some way, when we've doubted God or maybe even rejected God in some way, we need to come back to him, back to a forgiving God. It's not too late. Does Judas resonate in some way with you? Or maybe it's Peter. Peter, the ups and downs of Peter. First called with Andrew in Matthew 3, two of the first disciples. 3 years with Jesus, had seen everything, heard everything, had seen God's grace, mercy, love, and the way in which Jesus challenged the power base of the leaders of the time. How he valued everyone. And at his best, Peter was a great disciple, wasn't he? Statement of faith. Who do you think I am? You are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Matthew 16. He was there at the transfiguration. And I could just imagine Peter thinking, I don't quite understand what all this is about. What am I going to do? Lord, should we build a tabernacle to you? Matthew 17, the transfiguration. And then in John 13, Jesus, you're not washing my feet. You're too great to do that. The lesson that Peter had to learn about servanthood. Lord, I'm ready to die for you, again in Matthew 13. In fact, I slash off Malchus's ear in John 18 to defend you, Lord. But also in John 18, Peter denies Jesus three times. It tells us how grief-stricken Peter was. Matthew 26 says he cried bitterly. And yet Peter receives forgiveness. In John 21, Jesus three times tells him, feed my sheep. You're forgiven, Peter. How does that touch us? Are we beyond forgiveness? Do we feel that we're not worthy? Do we speak and act out of turn? There's a big tick for me there. Speak and act out of turn. Does Peter resonate with you? Somebody who's forgiving, a forgiving and gracious God.
That sounds like your heart.
It's still going. It's okay. Is it this?
You're still alive.
Yeah. I thought we had a drum beat for a moment. Across the clip now. Doing well.
Do you just want this one, John?
Okay, let's work from that. Yeah, we have a forgiving and gracious God, don't we? A God who is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Maybe today you feel you're a bit like Peter. You're a bit stricken down by what you've done in your life, things that have gone on. And we're reminded in Scripture that we need to confess our sin and that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to accept that forgiveness. So often God offers us forgiveness and we're not ready to receive it. So you're a bit like Peter. Or you're a bit like Thomas, doubting Thomas. He does get a rough ride, doesn't he? As we saw in that visual, he wasn't there. He wasn't there with the other disciples when Jesus appears in John 20. I need proof. I need proof that he's not a ghost, that Jesus is truly alive. I want to touch his wounds. And that proof is provided by Jesus as he appears again a week later. All Thomas can say is, my Lord and my God. Notice what Jesus says to him. You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. It's faith. It's a step of faith. One of Jeff's favourite sayings, and he doesn't just say it to Ruth, he says it to me from time to time, is, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Thomas wanted physical proof. We haven't seen Jesus, perhaps one or two of you might have done, but we haven't seen him in the flesh, certainly. And We are called to act in faith. Does Thomas resonate with you? It's okay to have doubts. We all have doubts from time to time. We don't understand things. We struggle with things. We say, God, I don't understand what you're doing there or why you did that. That's okay. Well, we have a great chapter, don't we, in Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. The heroes, the faith heroes, who trusted God come what may. Always Abraham comes to my mind when I think of men of faith. I'm going to send you somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. You're a rich guy. You've got loads of stuff. Just get up and go. And he got up and went. Wow. What faith is that? We are called to act in faith, to be faith believers, to be based upon Scripture, to believe God's promise that he will never leave us, and also to remember our past experiences. When we're in those doldrums, when we're in those doubtful times, remember when God has showed you that he's there and he cares for you and he showed you the way. Are you like Thomas? Or are you like Mary Magdalene? We're told in Luke 8 that she received healing from 7 demons. That she was one of the wealthy women supporting ministry of Jesus, Luke 8. She was a faithful follower, especially at the cross and at the tomb, Matthew 27. She had stickability. You remember that story in Gethsemane where it says that as Jesus was arrested, all the disciples ran away. It was the women that stayed close to Jesus. Stickability. Somebody who cared. Somebody who loved. Somebody who was the first to see the risen Christ, as we were reminded in that reading. Somebody who was told by Jesus to go and tell of his rising to the disciples. A woman, not a man, a follower, not an apostle. An ordinary woman who was a close follower. I have seen the Lord, she said, and here is what he said. And she was obedient in passing on the message that Jesus gave her. Does Mary resonate with you? Someone who is faithful and committed, servant of Jesus, through thick and thin. Can that be said of you? Somebody who gave of themselves totally to Christ. Somebody who was a devalued member of society, who God chose to proclaim the resurrection. We have no understanding of the place that women had at that time, how low they were valued, and yet that was the person that Jesus spoke to. Is that somebody that we want to emulate? And then finally, what about John? Great name, John. He was in some ways, he was an also-ran to Peter, wasn't he? He was sort of the support and the balance to Peter. He listened more than speaking and acting. He was one of the inner group of three. He kept close to Jesus, literally. It says in John 20 that he saw the grave clothes and believed. And that's the first time we hear that a disciple has actually got it, that the resurrection that was promised has happened. We're told he was loved by Jesus. He's the author of John's Gospel. And in John 21, he tells us that this is an accurate account. He was an eyewitness who repeated what he'd seen and heard. But does John resonate with you? Not the high flyer, like Peter or Paul that's coming along, but a thinker, somebody who reflects, somebody who has deep thoughts, somebody who quietly lives out their faith in word and action. We have one or two of them here in the congregation. Praise God. So maybe God's message to us, whoever we resonate with, whether it's some parts of Judas or Thomas or Peter or Mary or John, we need to remember God loves each one of his creation, that he wants a relationship with us, but that sin is a barrier, and Jesus took that sin upon himself, separated from God. So I said on Friday morning, and Ruth mentioned earlier, the wounds, the insults, the humility that Jesus was put through was nothing compared to him being separated from his heavenly Father. He did that because he loved us, and he wanted us to have a relationship with God once again. But we need to accept that gift. And then he conquered death. Proof that eternal life is just not a fable. It's a fact. So, on this Easter day, we rejoice in our living Saviour and we give him the glory. Amen.